Good morning. Good morning. Amen. We're in 1 Kings chapter 2 as we continue our study in this book. We will be going back and forth between 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles because they cover the same territory, but they each one has a little bit different details about some of the things here. So, one of the things, and we're going to take a look at this in the life of Adonijah. One of the things that is very crucial is to know how to use tact and wisdom. And quite often people die over foolish things. Absolutely tactless. It's been about 3 or 4 years ago now, up here in Upper Marlboro, workmen were putting out cones to do some road work. Well, this one guy didn't like that, got out of the car and started kicking the cones over to get out of his way. And one of the workmen got upset at that, hit him in the jaw, the guy fell back at his head and got a hematoma and died. Well, the workman shouldn't hit him, but the guy died because his own foolishness. We had the same thing happen last week in Florida. I don't remember, down in the Dunkin', used to be called Dunkin' Donuts. This abusive elderly man who gave the employees trouble all the time came in, was complaining about lousy service, and started calling the 27-year-old manager racial slurs, and finally the manager lost his cool and hit him. He fell down, hit his head, eventually died, you know. Well, obviously he shouldn't hit him, but it brought it on by his own foolishness. Well, Adonijah does the same thing in this passage, where he should have left well enough alone. So we pick it up here in 1 Kings chapter 2 and starting in verse 13. 1 Kings chapter 2. And starting in verse 13, and it says here, "Now Adonijah, the son of Haggith, came to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon. So she said, 'Do you come peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably.' Moreover, he says, 'I have something to say to you.' And she said, 'Say it.' Then he said, 'You know that the kingdom was mine, and all Israel had set their expectations on me that I should reign. However, the kingdom has been turned over and has become my brother's, for it was his from the Lord. Now I ask one petition of you, do not deny me.' And she said to him, 'Say it.' Then he said, 'Please speak to King Solomon, for he will not refuse you, that he may give me Abishag, the Shunammite, as wife.' So Bathsheba said, 'Very well, I will speak for you to the king.' Bathsheba therefore went to King Solomon to speak to him for Adonijah. And the king rose up to meet her and bowed down to her and sat down on his throne and had a throne set for the king's mother. So she sat at his right hand. Then she said, 'I desire one small petition of you. Do not refuse me.' And the king said to her, 'Ask it, my mother, for I will not refuse you.' So she said, 'Let Abishag the Shunammite be given to Adonijah, your brother, as wife.' And King Solomon answered and said to his mother, 'Now, why do you ask Abishag the Shunammite for Adonijah? Ask for him the kingdom also, for he is my older brother, for him and for Abiathar the priest and for Joab the son of Zeruiah.' Then King Solomon swore by the Lord, saying, 'May God do so to me and more also, if Adonijah has not spoken this word against his own life. Now therefore, as the Lord lives, who has confirmed me and has set me on the throne of David, my father, who's established a house for me as promised, Adonijah shall be put to death today.' So King Solomon sent by the hand of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and he struck him down and he died. Wow. Now, if you remember right, Adonijah had barely escaped execution earlier. You know, Adonijah declared himself to be king before David had died. He had not gone through David and not invited any of the major sons, major prominent people of the kingdom. So David installed Solomon while Adonijah was still celebrating his declaration to be on the throne. And Solomon, Adonijah came and pleaded with Adonijah, went to the tabernacle and grabbed the horns of the altar and says, I won't come out unless Solomon swears he's not going to kill me. And Adonijah says, called him and said, listen, as long as you prove yourself a worthy man, you're not going to die. You know, as long as you behave yourself, you're not going to die. And so like David, who lusted after Bathsheba, now Adonijah lusts after Abishag, the David's caregiver. Now remember, Abishag is kind of a strange character in the Bible. She's a young woman, you know, probably still in her teens maybe, incredibly beautiful. She was called basically to be a hot water bottle for David because he couldn't stay warm and to care for him. And so she's a young virgin. David does not have intimacy with her, but he takes care of her. Now that puts her in a kind of a limbo because technically she wasn't a concubine, but then again, she shared the king's bed. So, you know, she's kind of in between. Her status is kind of iffy. It's kind of unusual. So she cares for him. And what probably happened to this young lady was she probably was put away with David's concubines. It's probably what she was. So she probably never was able to get married. She probably never was able to go back out on her own. She was basically the property of the palace, the property of the king. So that's probably what happened to her. Now, Adonijah, now I want you to notice this. Adonijah knows better than approach Solomon on his own. Now, that should have warned him right there that this was not a good idea. And so he knows better than to approach his brother on his own. Because think about what he's asking. He's asking basically to take Solomon's father's caregiver, who was kind of a quasi-type concubine, since he shared his bed, to give it to Adonijah, which could have been viewed as a claim to the throne. I mean, this violation is just unheard of. And so Adonijah instead goes to Bathsheba, Solomon's mother, to ask her, to ask Solomon for Abishag to be his wife. Now, how Adonijah thought that was going to end well, I have no idea. And so he goes there, and Adonijah figures that Solomon would not turn down his mother. That's what he's dependent on. Well, he's surely not going to turn down his mother for a request. And so there's no question that this was his strategy. And again, isn't this interesting? That just as David lusted after Bathsheba, his son is lusting after Abishag, the same type of approach that these men have. And so Bathsheba, now let me talk a couple minutes about Bathsheba. And it's, wherever we find her, she always does what anyone asks her to do. I mean, she's really not a deep thinker. She's really not someone who is reasoning things out. Someone says, okay, Bathsheba, I want you to do this. Oh, okay. Bathsheba, do this. Okay. Now I want to stop here for a minute. Not everybody's been given a great intellect, right? Not everybody's been given a lot of great wisdom. And sometimes those people are made fun of, but it's not their fault. It's what they've had. It's what they are. So Bathsheba has been placed in an awkward position throughout her life by men beyond her control. I mean, she was the wife of Uriah and was happy to be that, but David steals her, and now she's put in an awkward position, and so then Nathan comes to her and says, you better advocate for your son Solomon. Now Adonijah comes to her, so she is being maneuvered, right? Being manipulated. Well, by the way, we're in 1 Kings 2, that's where we are, okay. And so her main asset is what? She's glamorous. Yeah, right, she's very beautiful. You see some of this with some of these Hollywood stars when you listen to them talk, that's not why they're there. Glamorous. I mean, I remember Paris Hilton standing up saying that she's the Marilyn Monroe of the age and stuff like that. But you listen to her talk and say, this woman doesn't have a whole lot of assets here, you know. Except being an attractive woman, you know. Same with Meghan Markle, you know. When she was in the palace, she was called Duchess Difficult by the staff because of her Hollywood attitude. And so Adonijah comes, and it would have been wise if he left well enough alone, right? I mean, he already just barely missed being executed by Solomon once. You'd think that this guy would pack up and get as far away from Jerusalem, as far away from the palace as possible, and stay away from Solomon, you know. And so we have a saying, right, let well enough alone, right? Just leave it alone. Let sleeping dogs lie, right? I mean, just, you know, stay away. But he doesn't. And I think, as Steve sometimes has pointed out, that this perhaps is a continuation of the judgment on David and David's household. Many men, I'm talking about millions of men throughout history, have been slain because of a lust of a woman. I mean, it's just one of those things. And there's been many men suckered into paying lots of money because they're attracted to this woman, and she gets out, and you have these gold diggers that go around and do that. And so he knew that Solomon wouldn't grant his request, so he tried to manipulate him through his mother. And how he thought this was going to end up well, I don't know. And so Bathsheba sees nothing wrong with the request. Well, you know, Abishag really was not officially David's wife or concubine, and Adonijah's his son. And so Bathsheba's not a high thinker. She's not top on the intellect list. And she's saying, well, I don't see anything wrong with this. And so as far as she was concerned, it was a simple desire for Adonijah, who wanted to be king, but simple desire he had for this young lady. And I think in her mind, she was thinking, okay, if we can get him to marry Abishag, he'll go off, he'll be happy, we'll be happy, everybody be happy. And so she says, I don't see any problem with this. Matter of fact, she probably thought in the back of her mind, David did far worse by stealing her away from her husband. So she doesn't see a problem with this. Now, especially after Adonijah does what? Adonijah acknowledges that the Lord put Solomon on the throne. He makes that acknowledgement there in 1 Kings 2. He says, listen, I recognize the kingdom was mine. All Israel has desire set on me. By the way, I think that's a conceit. I don't think all Israel had the desires, you know, for Adonijah to be king. In his mind, they did, you know, because some people followed him. oh, Israel's going to follow me. Well, if he was the only choice, right, you know, they would have followed him, but that wasn't the official choice. And so, but he says, I acknowledge that the Lord put Solomon on the throne. He acknowledges that. So Bathsheba's probably thinking, well, you know, he's not a threat. I mean, he acknowledges that the Lord put him on the throne. And so I don't see any problem with this. And so, she said, okay, I'll do that. No problem. So Solomon says, now, by the way, this is a problem. We've got to take note of this principle here. So, you know, Bathsheba comes in and Solomon gets up and, mother, you know, what can I do? Bring a throne, have my mother sit here next to me. Mother, whatever you want, I'll give, I won't refuse you. By the way, you don't do that, especially if you haven't heard a request, right? You don't say, I'll do anything you want. And by the way, we see people say, anything you need, just let me know, you know. Well, don't say that unless what? Unless you mean it, right? Anything you want, don't do this open thing. Now, if there's anything I could possibly do for him able to do that, that's different than saying, well, anything you need. Got to be careful, right, when you say those things. And so that's what she, anything you see, well, he backs away from that, doesn't he? And so be careful about open-ended commitments. You know, and that's why James 4 is important, where it says, don't say I'm going to go to the city and do this and buy and sell and everything. Say if what? If the Lord wills. I mean, this is my plan. We have that in Romans 15 where Paul was planning to go to Spain. He's going to go to Rome and then to Spain. He had a plan. Well, he took a detour, unfortunately, through Jerusalem. Never ended up going. He ended up in Rome, but in chains. Never ended up, as far as we know, in Spain. You know, plans are great, but the plans have to be according to the will of the Lord. Okay? And so he tells them about anything you want, but don't do these open commitments. Now, he says, I just had this one small request. Give Abishag, the Shunammite, to Adonijah for wife. And Solomon says, are you serious? Now, Solomon can get out of this commitment by saying that wasn't Bathsheba's request, but it was what? Adonijah's request. She's just passing this on. She's advocating. By the way, I don't know how Adonijah thought that manipulating the king's mother was going to be a good idea. Really? You're going to go around me by going through my mother to come to me? Seriously? You know? And so we have to be very careful about doing things like that. So Solomon explodes in anger instead of saying, okay, Mom, whatever you want. He says, oh, let's just give him the kingdom. You know, let's give him the palace. You're going to give Adonijah this, and essentially a kind of a concubine type of woman. You're going to give him, really? You're going to do that? Abishag probably ended up in the same retirement type of situation as the concubines did. It's probably where she ended up, but we're not told here for sure. And so, this, by the way, this probably confused Bathsheba because these are levels she doesn't think on. Not her fault, right? I mean, that's her nature. She's not thinking on how does this fit with the kingdom and what was this going to look like on the outside and all these political ramifications. She's just, this is beyond her thinking. So Solomon views this as a grab for the throne. Now, under Adonijah's situation, he's wants this beautiful woman, right? That's basically what he's thinking of. Solomon sees a bigger picture, okay? He's going to take David's caregiver that was set aside almost like a concubine and going to, no, we're not doing this. So Solomon is very sensitive to threats anyway, and for Adonijah to make this power move, he's going to see this as going to be a continual threat to his throne. So he's sensitive to these threats. He's established on the throne, but we have to realize he's established on his throne by decree of his father David, who's gone. And so there's still a lot of threats out there. You know, there's a saying, the weary is the head that what? Wears the crown, right? Weary is the head that wears the crown. So he's kind of wondering, you know, is this going to be a power play here against the kingdom? Now, Jonathan made mistakes on three levels. First of all, he should have stayed away from Solomon. I mean, if he was the main rival of Solomon and already declared himself to be king, he should have got out of town. You know, the old Western thing, right? This town's not big enough for both of us. He should have got on his horse and got out of town. He got out of Dodge. Secondly, by going after Abishag, he raised suspicions already because Abishag was tied to David. I mean, seriously? And then thirdly, you're going to go to the king's mother to try and manipulate the king? Not a good idea. Not a good idea. You know, we got to be wise in what we're doing. And by the way, we need to be open in what we do, right? And so there's a difference between fighting necessary battles and causing trouble for yourselves. You know, you might have the right idea, but do it in the wrong way. You got to be wise. You know, if there's going to be changes, for example, in this country, it's not going to be the ones out there shouting in the street. They're the ones that are going to be knocked down. So ones are going to be thoughtfully working and going through channels and doing, you know, right then, putting the legwork. It's not the ones with the bullhorns that's going to make the big difference. And so, as a matter of fact, you know, at the beginning of our country, at the very, very beginning, John Adams came to Thomas Jefferson and said, you need to be the one to write the Declaration of Independence. And he says, well, you should be the one. He says, no, I'm obnoxious. he says, people will take anything from me. And he already knew, right? He says, I'm obnoxious. He says, besides that, it should be a Virginian. So he already knew that he rubbed people the wrong way. By the way, that's why his son, John Quincy Adams, didn't get a second term, lost to Jackson, because he also was obnoxious like his father was. And so doing the right things in the right way, speaking the truth in love. And some people are just abrasive when they walk in. I mean, I remember, it's been probably about 10 years ago now, there was a piece of legislation come from, I think it was before Dallas, it was somewhere in Texas, that the churches wanted to oppose. And the councilmen were leaning in their direction. But the pastors, particularly the Pentecostal pastors, were so abusive to the councilmen in the hearings, called them antichrist, everything else, the council went the other way. You think by abusing the leaders, you're going to get them to agree with you? You know, you got to do the right things in the what? In the right way. Okay? And so a wise man, you know, Proverbs 27:12 says, a wise man sees trouble coming and steps out of the way. You know, doesn't go try to find trouble. However, where do we find trouble, which is necessary, is when the fact that God says, do this, and we stand up like Peter and John did in Acts 4 and 5. He stood up and they found trouble because they were doing what God wanted them to do in the way God wanted them to do. But you don't go looking for trouble, okay? So Adonijah picked a fight against his own life. He didn't need it. And by the way, if you have a lust for something that is detrimental, you better conquer that and not go after it. And so, I mean, there's so many people who have, you know, have lust for things and crave for things that are going to kill them. Whether it's cigarettes or whether it's dope or whether it's alcohol or whether it's, you know, sexual impropriety, those things eventually come back and kill you. And so it's amazing to see the number of people, over the years I've seen the number of people who, after they got the disease, then said, oh, I'm going to change my behavior. Well, it's too late now. You already did the damage, right? And so, oh, I'm going to stop smoking. Well, you already got the lung cancer now. I'm going to start drinking. Well, I'm sorry, you already got cirrhosis of the liver now, you know, or lymphoma or whatever it is. And so here, Adonijah is going after trouble here. He picked a fight where he shouldn't have. And listen, this is an important principle. Cravings are not worth dying for. They really aren't. Whatever the craving is not worth dying for. You know, 1 Corinthians 6 is an important principle in the life of a Christian, 6, 19, 20. Our bodies are the what? Temple of the Holy Spirit. And whether you believe it or not, we're going to stand and give an answer for how we were stewards of what God's given us, including the body he gave us. And by the way, you only get what? You only get one of them. And you can't go back and do things over again. By the way, you hear people say, well, if I had to do all over again. No, you do the same thing. It's the way our nature is. And so here, by Adonijah manipulating Bathsheba, it ends up costing him his life. And Solomon orders the death of Adonijah. Solomon figures, if this guy's going to continue to do this, he's a threat, I don't need this. You know, Adonijah, what he needed to do was be a model citizen and submit and not constantly being a thorn in Solomon's side. This was a dumb move on his part. And Adonijah's lust led to his death. It's what we call fatal attraction. You know, we see this with Balaam. He wanted the money that was offered by King Balak. He tells them how to get Israel to sin. He ends up dying. Samson, you're talking about fatal attraction, right? Delilah, Samson, Judas. Now, I'm going to reach back in my history when I was growing up. Something probably none of you have never heard of. Maybe you did. Anyone know who Marty Robbins was? Okay. Yeah, that's right. Well, he sang a song called El Paso, right? Down in the town of Paso. He fell in love with the senorita. What's that? A Mexican girl. That's exactly right. A Mexican girl. And he ends up dying. What was her name? Carmela or whatever it was. Good night, you know. And so he ends up dying because, you know, he gets a bullet in the back, you know, everything else. Well, that's kind of the fatal attraction type of thing. Now, everybody go to YouTube and you can look up Marty Robinson. down in the town called El Paso. You know? And so that's what Adonijah had. It had a fatal attraction. When it's forbidden fruit, it's what? It's forbidden. And you need to go way out of your way. If you have attraction to something that's forbidden, go way out of your way to get away from it, because it will eventually bite you. And so that's exactly what that's Adonijah. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll have a discussion on Adonijah and this interplay here with Solomon and with Bathsheba. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for time we have here, Lord, and in our discussion, Lord, just lead and direct us, Lord, and we just want to honor the principles that you lay out here in these narratives, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.